The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the chief priests and the elders of the people, "What is your opinion? A man had two sons. He came to the first and said to him, 'Son, go out and work in the vineyard today.' But he said in reply, 'I will not go.' But afterwards he repented, changed his mind, and he went. The man said to the other son the same order, and he said in reply, 'Yes, sir,' but he did not go. Which of the two did his father's will?" And they answered, "The first." Jesus said to them, "I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. When John came to you in the way of righteousness, you did not believe him. But tax collectors and prostitutes did. Yet even when you saw that, you still did not later change your minds and believe him." The Gospel of the Lord. We have this strange gospel reading today, a small pericope, which comes from the book of Matthew. It's found only in Matthew, and it's snuck in here between a collection of parables in the Gospel of Matthew. So let me look at this short narrative about two sons and wonder with you what it might mean to us. It's a tension between one son who repents and the other son who has no need of repentance. That's the tension here. And which is preferred? The one who makes a mistake, says, "I will not go." Then he repents. He is preferred over the son who said, "I will go," but he does not go. Now, there's one other place in all four Gospels where you'll find a story about two sons. And you will remember this. Chapter 15 in the Gospel of Luke has the story of the prodigal son. We all remember the prodigal son. Two brothers, one elder and one younger. And the younger son rebels. "I will not stay," he says. And he leaves. And he goes off and he squanders his fortune and lives a life of chaos. And then he decides he must repent. And he comes home. The elder son does not leave. And the younger son, he comes home repenting. And the father loves him. The father restores him. He forgives him. He makes him whole. The father loves him more than he ever loved him before. And he is restored to the fullness of life. The one who repented is the one who is exalted. Meantime, the other son, he stayed. He said, "I will stay." The other, first one, "I will go." "He, I will stay." But he doesn't really stay. He says, "I will stay," but he doesn't. He's there, but he's not there. He's there, but he's angry. He's bitter. He's selfish. He's jealous. He's righteous, he's judgmental, but he stays. So while he's there, he's not really there. One is the one who repents, has a need for repentance. The other has no need to repent. He doesn't see his sins. The first one sees his sins. So who's preferred? The one who wanders off, makes mistakes, does all sorts of crazy things, and then says, I really have to go back to my origins, go back to the place where I first experienced love. The elder son. We've all met the elder son. We met both sons in the church. The elder son is the legalistic one, the righteous one, the one who has no need to repent, does not see his sins. He is the one who excommunicates people. He is the one who makes judgments about others, the righteous one. The broken one, according to the teaching, is the one who is preferred. He faces his humanity. He understands his weakness. It's a tension between the one who is righteous, doesn't face his sins, his emptiness, his poverty, his need for forgiveness, and the other one who sees the poverty, the conflict, the emptiness of his life, and he returns and asks for forgiveness because he repents. These are the two brothers in Matthew and in Luke. So what does this mean to us? Graham Greene, in probably his most famous novel, The Power and the Glory, speaks about this. He introduces us to a priest in Mexico during the persecution of the church. We're back in the 20s, just before the Cristero War. He doesn't name the priest. By design, he doesn't name the priest. As a young man, this priest is ambitious and he's perfect. He's very clerical. But then something happens in his life. And he turns to alcohol. He becomes an alcoholic. He's not named. He's called a whiskey priest in the novel. He lives a chaotic life. He fathers a child. And during the persecution, all the priests either flee from Mexico or they're driven out of Mexico. He is the last priest left in Mexico, and he will not leave. He will not leave his people. So in due time, he's betrayed. The man who betrays him does so to get a reward from the government. But there's a nobility in this broken priest. So the man who betrays him, he gives him his mule. He gives him some alcohol, and he gives him a sandwich when he's leaving. He's condemned to death. He should be angry at those who are going to execute him. They're going to hang him. But he's not. Goes through this repentance and this conversion in his life. And eventually he's hanged. And Graham Greene holds him up as an example of one who repents. There's a nobility about that. There's a sense of being reborn. There's something about somebody who seeks to come back and repent. There's some quality about this person, a character, some richness. There's something extraordinary, kind of noble about a person who repents, which is not present in the one who is righteous. A generosity, a softness, a kindness, a brokenness with which at some point by the grace of God, each of us can see in ourselves. What Graham Greene wants, he wants us to read humanity through the whiskey priest, the one who becomes a martyr at the end. So what does this mean to us? When I'm at my best, I'm a repentant sinner. When I'm at my worst, I have no need of repentance. That's true for every one of us. When we find ourselves in need of repentance, we see our failings, we see our need to ask for forgiveness, then we hear the voice of Jesus. I've heard enough confessions of persons who are dying, very close to death, who pour out the struggles and the failures, the sins, divisions, alienations of their lives. In a moment of extraordinary grace, they feel the forgiveness and the touch of God, and then they hear the voice of Jesus saying, "Come into the kingdom and dine with me, with tax collectors and sinners, where you belong." I've often wondered about that myself. And more than once I've prayed that whenever I get to the end of my days, that by the grace of God, some priest may visit me and allow me to tell the story of my life. Allow me to repent and allow me to hear the voice of Jesus. And now he said, "Come into the kingdom and dine with me, with the tax collectors and the sinners." This is the church. It's the only church I know. It's the only church I experience. The person on the margins, the person knocking at the door, the person who wants to get into the church or into your family, is the one who is repenting in whatever language they use. There's not one of us who is perfect. No one among us isn't in need of forgiveness. Some greater and some less, perhaps. We're all broken people. And when we come to terms with that, with our own humanity, following Graham Greene, who wants us to read humanity through the whiskey priest, not through his holiness or his perfection, but through his humanity, through his weakness. And in his humanity, he experiences the infinite love of God. I believe it's the only way to experience the infinite love of God is when I say, "I will not go," and then I change my mind and I repent. And when I repent, I meet the living God. I meet Jesus Christ, who came among us to say, "I am infinite love. In my house, everybody belongs." In your house, in the house of your life, in your home, in among your friends, make it a house of the Lord where everybody belongs. No judgments, no excluding people. To be free Let go of prejudice, let go of judgment, let go of wounds, disappointments, and failures in life. Let go and experience the voice of Jesus saying, come dine with me. Dine with me, with the tax collectors and the sinners. Not like the elders to whom Jesus speaks in the gospel. Not like the authority that speaks in condemnation or in separation, but with the kindness, the sense of welcoming, understanding, freedom. Enter the kingdom of God as a broken human being and experience the infinite love of God. Amen.